traditional ways of teaching kids to write might be stifling their creativity and freedom of expression. It's all about how you approach writing education for your children. InfoTrack's Jim Anthony has the details. Jim?
Thanks, Chris. Today we're diving into a challenge many of us, kids and adults alike, know all too well, writing. But how can we help, especially children, move past those hurdles and develop the writing skills they need to communicate effectively and with confidence? Here to help sort it out is esteemed author and educator Julie Bogart. She's out with a new book called Help, My Kid Hates Writing. Julie, welcome to InfoTrack.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
A prevailing theme in your book is that self-expression is so critical to the success of writing from a young age. With that in mind, why do so many kids struggle with writing?
Unfortunately, the way that we teach writing in school is vastly different than the way we teach it when we're trying to teach people who want to be professional writers, for instance. We tend to focus so much on the mechanics, handwriting, spelling, and punctuation, that we forget about the self-expression behind those transcription skills. Most children, by the time they're age 5, are fluent in English. But unfortunately for them, they're just beginning to read and handwrite. And so when we ask them to self-express in writing, their thoughts are being gatekept behind those mechanical skills that are undeveloped. If we require accuracy and perfect mechanics, our kids literally have to dumb down the content of their thoughts to match the level of handwriting and punctuation and spelling skill that they have. Very quickly, they lose heart because the clever, insightful, quirky things that they would have expressed get lost behind all of that struggle to handwrite.
So if self-expression is taking, say, a backseat to the conventional teaching approach, that which we're used to, are we doing our kids a disservice, do you think? Are we taking the fun out of learning to write?
Yes. In fact, we're taking more than fun away. We're actually taking away their sense of identity and self. Once kids discover that the words that live inside them deserve to be written and enjoyed by an interested audience, they have a completely different relationship to writing. One of the things that I like to do, especially with young kids who are just learning to read and write, is to jot down their words on their behalf when they aren't expecting it. So let's say you're making dinner and Johnny comes running in from outside and he starts telling a little story about how his dog was chasing a squirrel. If you stop what you're doing, grab, you know, the back of a envelope from the bank or a supermarket receipt and start jotting down his exact words without announcing that you're doing it, your child will suddenly see that writing is occurring, but they don't know why. What I always say at that point is to say to your child, "Hey, honey, this is so good. I don't want to forget it, so I'm writing it down." Later that night at dinner, you can pull out that little narrative and announce to the family, "Johnny was telling me this story about the dog and the squirrel, and I was afraid I was going to forget it, so I wrote it down, and I just want to tell you it now." And then read that narrative aloud. When we do this, we demonstrate to our kids that the words that live inside them right now are already worthy of being captured, enjoyed, and read to an interested audience. And it's incredible. You can watch the light bulb go on in a child when you try this practice. It's like the first time they've really connected that writing is about what they have to say, not what they think the teacher wants them to say.
In the book, you make the argument, too, or at least the argument that some people will make, that children need to learn how to write properly in order to express themselves in a way that we could all understand, right? So, obviously, the mechanics are important to some degree. Is it a matter of where we input those mechanics, if you will?
Yes. One of the ways that I talk about writing is almost like riding a bicycle. And imagine the mechanics are one pedal and self-expression is the other. So when we're focused on self-expression, when the pedal comes to the top, we want to give all of our energy to pushing down on self-expression, really allowing it its full voice. But then when the mechanics are our focus, we don't use the child's original writing. We borrow someone else's writing and we use that to teach the mechanics. In my company, Brave Writer, we use practices called copywork and dictation, which are super popular in places like England and France. And one of the ways that we teach those mechanics then is we have students copy high quality writing written by someone else. And then over the course of the week, we read that same passage aloud and sight unseen. The child then needs to transcribe it so that they can actually implement periods, punctuation, spelling, all the things that make that look accurate. But here's the beauty. They're not having to also generate original thought at the exact same time. And so that's really the trick with writing. We're working on the mechanics at one time, and then we work on self-expression separately. And over time, those two come together, almost like you start pedaling the bike faster and faster, and now you've got the momentum. The problem in most educational environments is we put the mechanics before self-expression, and then we use self-expression to teach the mechanics, which causes untold hurt feelings and emotional damage.
I'll use myself as an example. Writing came relatively easy to me from a young age. And while I have my parents and teachers to thank for their instruction and support, what I really credit them with is something much more powerful, at least I think it's more powerful, and that was helping me develop into a critical thinker. How good a job are we doing with our children on that front?
Critical thinking is my biggest passion, in fact. I've written a book called Raising Critical Thinkers, which for me is the key area of learning that we should emphasize in school today. Writing helps us get to know our own thoughts. It helps us get to know the limits of our thinking. And one of the things that I have found is that when kids are given the appropriate questions to help them uncork their thoughts, help them explore a variety of perspectives, help them see the limits to their thinking, they are very quick to develop those skills. But that's really different than telling them what to think and then asking them to write the essay on the thing the teacher wants them to think, right? We have to create space for this multiplicity of perspectives and an opportunity to put those perspectives in our own words in order to grow as critical thinkers.
So confidence and encouragement go a long way to developing solid writers into adulthood. There's a chapter in the book in which you talk about writing trauma. I have to admit, I'd never heard that before. I'd never heard that term before. What is writing trauma, and how can parents and educators provide constructive feedback to kids who might feel discouraged about their writing abilities?
Yeah, you know, I love this one story that I share in the book. I was at a networking event for business leaders, and I met a man who was 69 years old. He had built multiple 7- and 8-figure companies. He was at the point of retirement in his journey as a business owner. And we started talking, and I felt a little sheepish being like, well, I have this homeschooling company, right? So I started to explain to him the difference between how we teach writing and how it gets taught in schools. And I explained that we usually enroll the parent and child together in our online classes because parents need to learn how to support growth in writing. Well, at that moment, he stopped me and he said, I would have really benefited from that. And then he told me the story of how he wrote a paper, a story that he really loved in 4th or 5th grade. His friend liked it, his mother liked it, and then the teacher gave him an F in grammar. And the lingering impact of that made it so that he never wrote again in his own handwriting as a business owner. If he was speaking in front of a board meeting, he had someone transcribe on the whiteboard. If he was doing an email or a text, he dictated it. He was terrified of making mistakes. And I said to him, you know, it could have been different. And I explained how it could have been different. And he literally got tears in his eyes. And I said, you know, you've been carrying this for 50 years. That pain that he had suffered had actually impacted him for his whole life. When I speak at conferences, I become like this mini therapist for adults who come and tell me the true sad stories of writing instruction that left lasting scars. And unfortunately, what happens is when we've had the experience of a lasting injury to our emotions, our ego, and our identity, we tend to continue and perpetuate the same method of instruction with our children. And that's why I wrote this book. I'm trying to say, hey, if it didn't work for you, it's also not going to work for your kids.
It's amazing. Words do matter. One last question for you. We live in a world today of TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and now AI. What role does technology play in helping children with writing today? And are these social platforms and technology helpful or hurtful or both?
Gosh, such a great question. I have a whole chapter on AI in my book, and I went on a year-long journey to try and understand it because obviously it is impacting writing. I think the main thing to take away from the newest development is that anytime new technology arrives, it's always a little terrifying at first because letting go of the old ways feels unnerving. That said, AI is a whole other level. I know that if I go on to ChatGPT and ask for marketing language, I can write marketing language, but it can do it in split seconds on ChatGPT. So the temptation to use these tools, these powerful, amazing tools, is at its highest moment, right? But I like to remind parents that kids have always found ways to cheat. You know, I talked to a lawyer who literally paid his roommate in the 1950s to write his history papers in college. So people who don't want to write have always found ways. What we really want to do is help kids feel the power of their individuality. Just like there might be a tool that helps a non-artist design Instagram posts like Canva or Photoshop, but in the hands of a skilled artist, those tools are at a whole other level. And what we really want is for our kids to identify that they have things worth saying, and they use these tools to help them say it, not to replace them so that the tool is saying it and it has no relationship to them.
The book is called Help, My Kid Hates Writing. Julie Bogart, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Thanks for having me. I so appreciate it.
And I'm Jim Anthony for InfoTrack.
That wraps up this episode of InfoTrack. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm your host, Chris Whitting. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next time for another InfoTrack broadcast.